Here, we'll just kind of go into it.
Show, bro. All
right, but you have it ready just in case.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, just in case you do want to pop it out. We're talking about the song here, so take it easy.
Yeah. Bro, man, you move pretty fast on our first date, bro. Like, shit.
Welcome to Conversations from a Room. This is episode 8, and I'm sitting here with a very special friend of mine.
Yo, yo.
Yes, that's him there.
What's good?
Eno.
Eno, you're like the only one that's going to be calling me Eno in California right now.
Wait, why doesn't anyone ever call you Eno anymore?
Because Eno is like me in Miami, elementary school, middle school. I didn't like my name when I was young. My real name is Enoch, and I thought like, oh, that's a biblical character. People are gonna think I'm a nerd. So
you know what's funny? I remember
I did it.
I forgot that your name was actually pronounced Enoch because it's spelled E N O C, and I remember.
Oh God!
I remember thinking, no, it's not. It's not Enoch. It's Eno for sure. Why would it be Enoch? And then you said, no, it's Enoch, and I was like. No, that's terrible.
I deceived you, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why you believe that? Because I used to tell everyone, no, the C is silent. It's N-O. So even teachers would be like, Enoch. And I wouldn't raise my hand. Like, yeah. I wouldn't raise my hand. And they're,
yeah,
Enoch,
yeah.
My name is N-O. It's not Enoch. The C is silent.
It's definitely a very different name. I don't think I've ever met another N-O or Enoch or any other alien name.
It's not
name.
Common.
Well, remember, people used to get my name confused. It was with a K, so they used to say Kristen.
Yeah,
yeah, remember that? Yeah, yeah. Kristen Lugo?
Yeah, you used to get mad, too. You used to get mad.
I used to get mad. Now I embrace it.
Yeah.
Usually they say my name, and now I'm like, yes! Yeah.
No.
You gotta embrace yourself.
Yeah, bro. So that's what happened when I came here. I realized, like, my name is such... It's such more different than Eno,
mm-hmm.
and it impacts people when I say, hi, nice to meet you, my name is Enoch. Like, oh, wow, that's a cool name, rather than, hi, nice to meet you, my name is Eno. Mm-hmm. Or, what gang are you in? Like, no, I'm not in a gang. It's what my family calls me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, not a lot of people call me Eno, bro.
It's how do you like, spell your last name?
Aguado, like Agua, A-G-U-A-D. Agua is A-G-U-A, and then Do, like D-O, Aguado.
Well, welcome to the show, Eno.
Woo! Thank you for having me, bro.
So you say people don't call you Eno then? What do they call you then? Like on the like anywhere else?
Enoch.
So you've just changed it to Enoch now?
Yeah, man. I went from P Diddy to Diddy, or you know. You're
just kidding. What's it gonna be in like another 10 years?
I honestly think it's gonna be E, bro. Yeah,
that's cool, man. I like that.
The reason why is because like for some reason people keep on cutting off words, you know, or letters.
I'm just gonna start calling you Knock.
Knock.
And then when I walk in, I'm gonna be like, knock, knock. I'm so glad you laughed at that because not even my father would. That's a terrible joke.
Yo, you know what? You know, it's hilarious because the reason why I find that funny is because that's how I get people to understand how to pronounce my name. So I say E, like the letter E, mm-hmm. Knock on mm-hmm. your front door.
I mean, it's not very hard to begin with.
No, you'll be surprised, bro. Yeah. Enoch.
Yeah, that's true.
Eggnog.
I'm just gonna call you eggnog.
Enos, like yeah.
Eggnog's fine.
I'm telling you, bro, you'll be surprised what people's creative minds.
Well, people
think.
Just call me Lugo, so
that's a fire.
Anyways, we know each other from back in the early 2000s.
Was it elementary or middle?
Elementary school.
Damn, son.
Into middle school.
Crazy.
And I don't think we've seen each other. What, I want to say 10 years?
Eighth grade, bro.
Yeah, it's been a long time, man.
It's crazy. I'm
so
nervous right now.
Our history is that we met each other in middle school, and we used to do theater together.
Was it middle or elementary?
I think it was middle.
Did you go to Mr. Max class?
South oh, it Miami? Was elementary. South
you,
Miami Elementary,
You were
yeah.
Mr. Max drama, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy who screamed a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah, dude, yeah. You were there!
Yeah, yeah, he was crazy.
Yeah!
He threw a book one time.
He fucking put me on the wall!
That's right! He threw you against the wall.
He picked me up off my feet.
We were probably the two most annoying kids in class.
That's why we were best friends.
Yeah, because we were like super energetic. We used to do a lot of bad. You brought a snake to school one day.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
I'll never forget that.
Recreate that or correct yourself. I brought two snakes that day.
Well, we're only talking about the one in your backpack. Okay, take it easy. Shit. That's a dick joke. Anyways, so I wanted to ask you, when did you move to Los Angeles? Because I moved here 2015.
I moved right after high school, 2011. I graduated 2010, moved here 2011 to go to music school and get away from Miami because Miami was putting me in a bad place, bro.
A lot of people say.
Doing bad things, bro, at a young age, like too young. Like, rockstar lifestyle, bro, 16 years old.
Crazy rockstar shit. Lifestyle?
Yeah, bro.
Well, tell me all about it. I wasn't doing any of that. I was living like the ABC family lifestyle.
I have memories, bro, being 16 years old, going to, it was a club called Nocturnal, right? It used to be right next to Space.
Yeah, I remember Nocturnal, yeah, for sure.
Bro, I was cool as fuck with the bouncer.
Was that in South Beach?
Right next to Space, like current Space right now, you know Space?
Oh, in Wynwood.
It's in downtown Space. It's like where they shot Bad Boys 2 in the beginning of the movie where they throw the
best movie ever. How can I forget?
Throw the dead body in the trash can.
Oh, yeah.
That's Club Space.
That's exactly. Okay, cool. Michael Bay was like, I need to get this shot at Space.
Yeah, bro. Because Space is really renowned for crazy parties, bro. Everybody's on ecstasy and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we would go to this club, mind you, underage, right? And we would just show up with money. And we'll be like, yo, pay the bouncer off $50 per head, per person who's underage. And we'll give them another $100 to bring us a little catcher of ice, into the club. We'll bring our own bottles. I'll be the bottle sneaker. I had bottles in my fucking pants. Like, wait, can I curse here? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are you going to bleep it out?
I was going to send this to your parents, but it's fine. It's too late for that now. Oh, God.
Whoa, my mom. Sorry, mom.
So just say whatever you can say to your mom, you can say on this podcast.
Oh, my mom has gone through the worst, so.
Okay, I guess there's no rating here then, folks.
She's going to forgive me.
You can say whatever you want.
She's already forgiven me. She's like, Jesus Christ, she'll forgive everything.
Yeah, I mean, I remember your mom. She was a sweet lady.
Mm-hmm.
You cared about you a lot.
Really awesome, bro. So yeah, man, like just as a kid growing up doing things that I shouldn't have, sneaking into clubs and selling drugs and doing drugs and taking LSD, taking mushrooms and ecstasy at ages that you shouldn't be introduced to these drugs. I started smoking weed at 13, did cocaine for the first time at 16 years old. First time doing ecstasy was 16. Jeez. First time doing mushrooms.
Yeah, so you really went full throttle away.
Bro, I was 18 years old making $4,000 a week, bro.
Wait, were you selling these things?
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh my gosh. When I was 14, I was just discovering like...
No, I was not 14.
Oh, how old were you, you said?
16.
18? But still, I mean, crazy. Man, when I was 18, I would go to the park at night to drink a beer by myself. You know, like that was it. Yeah.
It was crazy, bro. I bought my own car. I totaled one car, bought another car.
Jesus.
It's crazy.
And the only thing I can afford is a bicycle. And that's now, and I'm 27. That's insane.
It's crazy. So yeah, I realized first the person that I was at the time, I was very manipulated by media. And
well, you know what it was, man? I think the reason why we were attracted to each other, not physically, but also emotionally, is because...
Shut up, don't get me excited, bro.
Yeah. It's because you're an artist. I mean, like, you revolve around art. You do things that are artistic. You know, you can sing. You can dance, maybe. Thanks, I haven't seen you dance in a while. You used to do hip-hop, right?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
We used to do tap dancing, yeah. Bro. Come on.
There's certain things you can't say on this podcast. One of them is curse in front of your mother. And the other one... is include the fact that we used to tap dance
and ballet.
Yeah. Oh, we did all that. So we did ballet, we did theater, bro. Together. Yeah, but yeah, but you're theater, you're a wonderful actor. You have a lot of like energy and a lot of charisma.
Thanks,
bro. And I'm glad that you're still pursuing that.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
And luckily I was able to awaken myself and snap out of it, bro, because I looked at myself in the mirror one day and I'm like, who am I?
I need dreadlocks.
I need you.
That's what you said.
Actually, fair enough. I wanted dreads at 13 because of Bob Marley. I wanted.
So how long did it take you to grow up? For those of you who can't see Enoch right now, or Knock, or Eno, or E, what should I call you? I don't even know what to call you anymore.
I always tell people.
I'm going to call you NL because that's what I know.
Yeah, you run with what you feel comfortable. I tell people. Like, whatever your creativity comes up with, like, that's what
Jesus,
I
Jesus, bro, you're going to have 37 names. Yeah, you got to choose one.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to make people happy, bro.
At one point, you're just going to be like Prince. Your name's just going to be a symbol. Just going to be like a drawing.
That would be cool.
But yeah, he's got very long dreads. And he looks in the time of age of an artistic being, I guess.
Thank you, man. You know, I appreciate it.
I even told him earlier, you look like the number three guy with dreadlocks who skateboards in a Pepsi commercial.
Casting call.
Yeah.
Ready to book it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, 18 was like the enlightened moment of change that made me drive myself to California. So I moved here at 19 years old. At 18, I was already like, boom, I need to change my life. I went through all that craziness from the age of like 14 to 17. Like, those years were really crazy, bro. And I, at 18, it was like awakening, enlightenment. Yo, we need to get out of Miami ASAP. And I moved out. I chased my dreams.
And you got into music. I mean, you took it to a whole new level. Because you were, I guess you never really thought about getting, I mean, at least I never would have considered you getting to the position where you are now in like the music field, because I didn't know that you were so like passionate about it.
Bro, yeah. I mean, the way it happened was I realized what made me the way I was, what made me fall deep in that hole of like crazy party life and drug dealing. And I'm like, it was the music. The music in radio. What do you hear on Radio Miami? It's like, I got three chains, drugs, party, strippers.
I've only listened to Radio Disney since I was like 20. So,
bro, you're kidding me.
Do you remember Radio Disney?
No, you never listened to Power 96.
I'm getting on Power 96,
bro. So at my age at the time, with like drug dealing and being a gangster thug, like that was the cool thing. Everybody was wearing tall tees in the music videos. You know, I wanted to be like the guys in the music videos.
Sure. Yeah.
I just followed, like, I listened to Young Jeezy. All he talks about is drug dealing and how to drug deal successfully without getting caught. And I would listen to these songs and it would be like my Bible, bro. Like how I even learned how to cut cocaine and make more money from cocaine through listening to music. So I'm like, oh my God, music has that power to make me this way. I can make music to influence people's lives for the greater good, bro.
Wow.
So I'm at that moment, like, music is the most powerful thing. Music changed conscious minds. Like, whatever music you listen to, I'm sorry, whoever's listening to, you are a reflection of the music you listen to. What I'm trying to say is the music really influences your character.
Sure, yeah.
And it's really obvious to see. And I realized that at a young age. So I'm like, I got to make music to inspire people and make people aware of certain things that I'm starting to become aware of, you know?
So how do you categorize your music now? How do you...
So now...
What type of genre would you explain your... For people who haven't heard you yet.
Okay, so what I have out now, like currently, is like reggaeton, Spanish music over...
Are there artists that you can like relate to?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because my style singing, I incorporate what I like from different artists and I put it together. So instead of, let's say, a typical reggaeton song will have a feature of three different artists. Each one of those artists will have their own style, their own flavor, their own flow, and it's three different people. Me, I'm doing all those three different styles, and it's just me, one person.
Yeah.
A verse, I'll rap in a certain way or sing in a certain way. The hook, I'll sing a certain way, and I layer my vocals like they do in Spanish songs, where it's like Ozuna, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin. Ozuna's the top melody, Bad Bunny is the low, and J Balvin is the mid. I'm stacking all of them. And
I can tell that a lot in that last song, Los Pasamos Bien.
Yeah, Los Pasamos
Bien. Los Pasamos Bien. There you go. I got it.
Close enough.
Which is, we had a good time, right?
We had a good time.
Yeah. And you can tell in that song, you hit different levels within it, and it shares the emotions of each chorus, of each, you know. And yeah, you kind of play along with it.
Different characters, different delivery, different actual characters, and different ways that I pronounce words.
Now, was this inspired by your old tap dancing career in middle school? The way that you can come up and down and use certain aspects.
Yo, tap dancing, actually, it's really cool. It's still with me today, bro. Matter of fact, I was in Whole Foods today, tap dancing, like shuffle, ball change.
Yeah, because we have, we're like Energizer bunnies, man. We can't stop moving. Rachel tells me all the time, you're like a boy stuck in a man's body.
That's it, bro. Yeah, I get depressed if I'm not moving and doing things. Like, literally, if I'm just stagnant, I become sad, depressed. There's something wrong with me. I got a fever. I got a cold.
Yeah. So you use work as like a do you use
like 9-to-5 work or like dreams and work?
No, I'm saying your job, like your work as an artist.
Okay, yeah.
What I'm trying to say is you keep busy as a way to like
escape, bro.
Escape, yeah. Almost like for me, I like to keep busy because I need to keep moving. You know what I mean? I feel uneasy sometimes. So sometimes I need to write, you know, like I'll start writing like a short or a sketch or mm-hmm. I'll do a podcast episode. I'll go out and I'll do something to keep my mind busy because I feel like your mind is constantly moving around.
Mm-hmm.
So you almost have to, you almost like to work. You're obsessed with creating art and creating stuff because there's like this drum inside of you that keeps beating and you have to listen to it. So you have to keep going. You have to keep pursuing
expression,
it.
Expression, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
It's expression. You have mm-hmm. these emotions and feelings you just want to get out.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of the time is like going back to what type of music I'm making, mm-hmm. it really depends on how I'm feeling. Sometimes mm-hmm. I do feel in that mode where I want to party and mm-hmm. I want to have fun. So yeah.
Which is good. It's healthy, you know?
I'll make a song.
To a certain degree.
Yeah, to a certain degree, yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
I'll do a song that might promote not so of a healthy lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking about eating mushrooms or something,
mm-hmm.
Opening your third eye, you mm-hmm. know, that's not probably not acceptable in society,
mm-hmm.
but that's something that I'll sing about because I feel that. I feel that, mm-hmm. like, this girl that I'm hanging out with, she wants to take shrooms and open up her third eye, so we'll talk about that, mm-hmm. smoking weed, going to Amsterdam or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that's the song. Other mm-hmm. times, I'm singing a song that's just love and
mm-hmm.
Me having to let go of past emotions, mm-hmm. letting go of my ex-girlfriend and bringing in the new love of my life. And it fluctuates. And it's all, like you said, expressing the emotion that I go through. And that's like my outlet. It's like...
Yeah, see, I can really relate to that because lately I've been writing a lot of like, you know, sketches or shorts, you know, for acting stuff because I want to be able to create my
really
own content.
Cool, man. Real cool.
And what I'm obsessed with is not just using the same colors each time. You know what I mean? Like, sure, I could, you know, you could do songs about like having a good time and partying and all that. But you also want to show people
a different side. Yeah,
a different side. You want to get sentimental. You want to be able to paint the whole spectrum. You know what I mean? You want to be able to fill
Absolutely,
the entire wall.
Bro.
You don't just do a corner here and a corner there. You want to fill it from the floor to the ceiling.
Nice, I like that.
No, and I totally relate to that.
My thing now is incorporating as many genres as possible and mixing them together. So the latest. The newest song that's coming out for Valentine's Day.
What's it called?
Otra Mujer, which means other woman. It's about me letting go of my ex-girlfriend, don't bother me, don't text me, don't send me mensajes. That's
and funny. This song is done.
It's done. It's right
it
now. It's mixing
it hasn't
right
come
now.
Out yet.
I'm mixing it right now, mastering it right now.
Do you have it now?
Yeah, matter of fact, look, let's play it. So this song is a mix of a whole bunch of genres. I have a Spanish reggaeton, salsa, in certain points, like singing wise, vocally. Mm-hmm. But the production is very trap. But mm-hmm. the sounds are funk,
mm-hmm.
bass, funky bass, funky guitar, and it's these genres all mixed together. So. Let's just check it out real quick. I want to play a little second. Ya nosotros terminamos. Ya no te tengo el amor. Ay, ay, oh, oh, oh. Ya nosotros terminamos.
So can I play this song at the end of the show?
I actually don't want to give out the whole song yet.
Oh,
I want before
Valentine's
snippet right there, and then that snippet. If that attracts the listener to go check it out on Valentine's Day, Eli Nokian, Instagram, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes. Then cool. If not, That's all you're going to hear.
Can I play one of your songs at the end of the show?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was thinking Lo Pasamos Bien.
That's the first single. That's the one that put me into like the market. Like, boom, this is who I am. I'm this artist. This is a sound I'm delivering. And boom, here I am. Like, that was the first one that I decided, like, I finally know me as an artist. Mm-hmm. And that's why I waited so many years to release a song officially. Because I was unsure of myself. Mm-hmm. Even though I was, yo, you hear songs of before and they're bangers, bro. They're really cool. But it's just not what I'm wanting to do as like me as an artist.
What's your sort of biggest fear when it comes to releasing a song, that it's not going to do well or people aren't going to like it?
I don't have fears. I don't have fears with that shit at all.
Actually, really? Yeah. You're super, super confident?
Not that I'm super confident. Is that I like it. If I'm releasing something, it's because I like it. And I don't care what anybody...
That
like,
is it.
I don't care what
that's,
you think.
That's the ticket, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? If you like it, if your friends like it, that's it.
Even if my friends don't like it, I don't care. I like that.
That's,
I like it.
That's and beautiful,
it
man.
It hits my soul. It makes my hair stand up. Mm-hmm. If it's making my hair stand up, mm-hmm. I don't care what the person thinks at all. Because I know for sure, if it makes my hair stand up, there's going to be people out there who it's going to make their hair stand up too. That's, you know, so.
That's motivating, man. So honestly, because I have so many fears about something not working, or it's just not going to hit the right note, mm-hmm. or it's just not going to. It's no one's going to get it.
You're wasting time.
Yeah, it's true.
Those negative thoughts are getting you nowhere.
Just do it.
They're just holding you back, bro. That's just like, there's no point into thinking thoughts that are going to make you backtrack.
Thank you, man. Thank you for that. Yeah. This is for me, by the way. That was perfect.
Yeah.
Bro. All right, dude. So this is the theme of the podcast.
Let's go.
I like to talk to people about films. Mm-hmm. I like to talk to people about music. Obviously, we're going to do that. And then we talk about literature. You know, some books that you've read that you can recommend. My main thing is I ask people, we first talk about films. I wanted to get people together because I love movies. I love, you know, Hollywood, the whole aspect of it. That's why I moved out here. And I like to ask people, what's your favorite movie of all time? What's the worst movie Damn. You've ever seen?
Okay.
And the last movie you saw that blew you away.
All right. The favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Interstellar.
Interstellar?
Yeah, bro.
Christian Nolan, Matthew McConaughey, all that.
McConaughey, bro.
Damn, yo, dude.
I love that movie.
That's
so
a
much,
good
bro.
Fucking
it's
movie.
A great movie. It's like,
have you heard the score for the movie? Hans Zimmer. Do you
bro,
like Hans Zimmer?
Of course.
Oh, good. So, see, because you're a musician, so you know.
My mentor Joshua DiTrujillo, I love you. God bless you.
You have a mentor?
He's the one that made me understand production to what I know today. If it mm-hmm. wasn't for him, I learned more by his side than I did at Musician Institute.
Really?
I went to school for audio engineering. Great. Bro, I learned 10 times more than I learned in that school that I paid $25,000 for. I'm still in debt today. With next to that man. And luckily, I met the perfect guy at the perfect time. And he really blessed me to the knowledge that I have today, which allows me to produce my own stuff and work with other producers, record my own stuff, mix my own stuff. And thankfully for him, I'm the person I am or artist I am today.
Yeah. What's his name again?
Joshua DiTrujillo. Go check him out. JDX Music.
Awesome, man. So why Interstellar, though? Let's get back to that.
All right, Interstellar. Why? Because there are real scientific theories
mm-hmm.
that are used into that film. Mm-hmm. One being the string theory.
Sure.
The string theory, if you don't know, is Albert Einstein.
So you've read about wormholes and whatnot, and you're interested in them?
100%,
bro. Because they are real.
100%. One is super, I feel, real from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
String theory. The string theory is that there are multiple realities.
Sure.
That are...
I saw Spider-Verse.
Alternate universes.
Sure, sure.
Alternate universes that exist in real time.
Yeah.
And depending on your decisions is mm-hmm. the reality that you fall on. So here we are now. Currently now we're sitting at this table, we're talking, and your decisions tomorrow, today will discern your destiny, right? And these choices are real places in time. So if you decide, hey, I want to do this and that and become the nurse. What, you're in an alternate universe, you're a nurse. If you decide I'm not going to become a nurse and I want to study and become a philosopher or whatever, then in an alternate universe, you're a philosopher. And these places and decisions are actual real places in time in alternate universes, the string theory, infinite amount of alternate realities.
I like to think I'm at my peak of my ultimate universes and everyone else is just living on the streets.
Damn, man.
I don't want my alternate universe to be better than I am. I want to be the best of my alternate universe people.
Well, with great intuition, you're absolutely right. You are living the best life of you. That's with perfect intuition. You got to have the intuition so perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
You're living the best version of you.
Yeah,
and that's what I strive for. Yeah, I strive to be the better me tomorrow.
I want to carry that on to my children. I want to tell them, you can be and do whatever you want. Just be the best of what you want to be. You know what I mean? You don't have to be
within yourself.
Yeah, be the best. Like, just be the person you want to be. You be the best person you can be. You know what I mean?
Within yourself.
Yeah, yeah, like, for sure, just for sure.
Strive for the best version of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the string theory applies to that. Mm-hmm. There's multiple alternate universes, but one destiny, and depending on your choices is the destiny that you land on.
Mm-hmm.
That movie shows the string theory in a way where he goes to the library of books and he's mm-hmm. going through the strings and going through time.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, this is spot on.
That's
like,
insane.
It's spot on. And it shows that the only thing that could travel through space and time is love.
That's crazy. Interstellar. I haven't got...
my hair stood up right now just saying that. Like,
no, what? No. Here's the thing, though, man. Like, that movie is great. I think that movie...
All-time favorite.
No, no. It actually... it's so funny. That movie, it was like 50-50. Some people didn't really like it because I think they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of confusing and long.
100%. You have to be conscious.
And
you
people
have to be
who liked it loved it. And I thought it was amazing. I love that movie. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
You have to be spiritually inclined to understand that movie.
I think so, yeah, for sure. Because it's more than just science. It's so much more than that.
It's science mixed with spirituality. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that is the only thing that's going to take this world to the next level, is understanding that our spirituality is science. There's actual things that apply to our science that, like, God and science together will take us to the next level. But people are like, no. It's only science and scientific. And people are like, no, religion is the only way. But it's, no, it's together, man. It's together. But yeah, that's another conversation.
I believe in the theory that, you know, that last scene in Men in Black where we're all just in a bunch of marbles in an alien's hand. Yeah, that's just, we're all just living in a big bowl of marbles.
Probably, man. We don't know.
You know, they're making a new Men in Black movie?
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm so excited for that.
Chris Hemsworth.
It's going to be cool, man.
The other awesome cool girl, I forget her name. I'm so sorry. I'll have to edit it in here. All right, so what's probably like the worst movie you've ever seen?
Or
like a guilty pleasure movie? Like a movie you want to be like, look, I know this is a terrible movie, but I want to put it on and just watch it. I know people hate it or it's super cheesy, but I love it. It's my guilty pleasure film.
Shit, I don't even know.
You know what's funny? This question's always really hard for people because... I feel like for most people, they can't really think of a movie that they remember that's so... Because for me, I love watching like really bad movies. And because it's fun.
Give me an example. Like, what do you mean movie, bro?
Okay,
like,
did you ever see...
Because I don't like watching bad movies.
That's the thing. I watch so many movies. Did you see Venom?
Okay, yeah. Some people thought it was bad. I thought it was okay.
But it wasn't horrible. But it's like, there's certain scenes in it that are just...
Cheesy as fuck.
Like, what? Like, oh, it's super cheesy.
Like, did they not book the right actors?
Yeah. Oh, but Tom Hardy was great in it.
Yeah,
though,
he was great. He killed it. I just feel like certain things, certain ways, the delivery, it
For
was
example,
super...
another great example is XXX, Return of Xander Cage.
Shit. Okay, perfect. Perfect. Fast and the Furious.
There you go. That's a great one. That's what people always
not the
always
first
say that.
Not the first one, not the second one, but the newer
ones.
Like
the newer ones, yeah, for sure.
I'm with this. Yo, come on. Like, yo, I can't even stand 20 minutes in there.
Okay. I heard they battled a submarine with cars. How does that even work?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What the fuck's that?
But did you see like the last few of them? Because I don't think I've seen any of them.
I gave
like,
up
Tokyo
after
Drift.
The third one. Yeah. Tokyo Drift.
I have not seen a Fast and Furious movie since Tokyo
Drift. I gave
Tokyo
up after
Drift.
That. The one which is so sad, God bless, rest his soul, where he died.
Paul
Walker, there you go. So yeah, that... that to me is like one of those movies that are just horrible. But great production level to the maximum.
Yeah, exploding cars. Those are in the same line as like Transformers, XXX, any movie probably with The Rock, you know, like Rampage, which I love The Rock, but it's a lot of those like big blockbuster, over the top explosions, girls, you know, drinking, partying.
With Venom, I really enjoyed it.
I liked Venom.
I enjoyed it. It kept me like cool. Like
Yeah. Which is what a movie should do. You know, it's like, yeah, it was good. You know what I mean? I thought there was a lot of parts where I laughed out loud because it was so ridiculous. Specifically, there's a scene where he's on his motorcycle. Eddie Brock, Tom Hardy's character, he gets hit by a car. He rolls off his motorcycle and his legs are mangled. They're broken. And the power of Venom fixes his entire body. He swims onto the shore, in, like to the San Francisco Bay, fire. Lands on a buoy, and his first line is, "Oh my God, my legs, they were broken, and now they're not broken." Someone wrote that into the script.
Oh God!
Like you could have said anything you said.
That's what I'm talking about. Some parts are just so cheesy.
You're just like, why would they do this? So what's the last movie you saw recently, whether it's in theaters, on Netflix, that you were like, okay, cool, this is a good movie, and a movie you can promote right now?
Guardian of the Galaxy.
Oh, I love that movie. That's a great answer. That is a great answer.
I love
that
movie.
It's a great movie. It's fun.
I love it, bro.
It's fun. It's a good movie.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. Guardian of the Galaxy, the one where his father is a god. Or
yeah, whatever. You like that one?
That one's amazing. That one's, Guardian of the Galaxy,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
I totally mix up my
movies.
He
plays Ego, the Living Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that movie,
I love those movies.
I wish I could be casted in one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'd be perfect for that.
Like, that's my ultimate goal.
You know what? I see you as like a guy. You look exactly the way you are, but you have two more arms. For some reason, you have like your arms and then two more arms.
Yo.
And that would be your specialty. You're just like, you could just like shoot different guns and like swords and shit.
Tell me how one time I was on LSD and I saw myself turn into the blue person that had like multiple arms.
Oh, Siddhartha.
Yeah, arms and stuff.
You were on LSD and I turned into
that person in the mirror. I saw myself as that and every emotion, human emotion was displayed in front of me. My face was like multiple faces left and right. So like my normal face was front and my every emotion was going around my head. So sad would be a little left. Happy would be a little left after that. And sad and just continuing on forever. All emotions. And I grew out like three different arms. And I was juggling these spheres. And then I became in this super golden room with geometric shapes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I could be that guy, man.
This is the audition room. Okay, cool. So you saw yourself as the character on LSD. Can you still go over the sides? Nah, man. I'm the guy. I'm him. All right, cool, man. So I think we talked about music a lot because, you know, you are a musician and we talked about your whole experience and your whole what you do as an artist, as you know, what you work as. But if there are other artists or other albums or any sort of music that you're inspired from that you want to discuss that you can tell people, you know, if you ever want to start listening to this musician or start listening to this artist, this is who you should look up.
J. Cole.
Okay, yeah. I love J. Cole. Yeah, for sure.
J. Cole, like, he's on that.
Specific album, maybe?
Nah, man. I got some sad. I got sad news for you, bro. I don't know specific information.
Oh, that's okay.
People, like,
no one does. Everything's on Spotify now.
It's so bad.
No one goes to the store and buys a CD anymore. Everything's online. You just press play. You press the shuffle button. And you drive to work. That's it.
It's so sad.
That's it. But it's okay. I, for one, like to look at like, wow, this is a good song. Let me look at the name of the song. I mean, that's all right. You're not required to remember everything, but.
The truth is that I'm not a true fan when it comes to anything. Like, I'm so within myself and what I feel like I need to get done that I don't attach myself to other, like, I'm like, oh my God, this person, I need to have like every album, there's no one that I'm like following them at that level.
Yeah, I think I would say I'm the same way. It's like, I like these
people. I'm a floater fan. That's what it is.
A Florida fan?
No, floater.
Like, oh, floater.
I float between people and I like this person for that time. If I'm feeling this way, I'll listen to that person. But diehard fan, I'm not.
Really? I would say I'm like that too. I mean, like, I do have certain bands or certain, like, directors or certain artists.
I used to be when I was a kid, though.
Oh, well, of course, because it's like, that's what raised us, you know what I mean? Like, you were raised on certain artists, you know what I mean? Like, you did what they did. That's what an influencer is, you know what I mean? You know, like, you look at someone on social media who has, like, a billion followers, you want to wear what they're wearing, do what they're doing, because that's what it is, you know what I mean? Yep. They influence people to do stuff. I'm not like that either. If I like something, I like it. This is good. But I'll go on to the next thing, because there's so many options out there.
And I feel like
There's no need to be obsessed with something when the whole world has so much to give. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just take it all in.
And that makes a difference between trendsetters and followers. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a follower.
Yeah.
I try to set the trend. I try to make myself different. That's why I was 16 years old, white, complex skin with dreadlocks.
Mm-hmm.
No one had dreadlocks with the way that I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some Rastafarian guy did.
Yeah, you definitely look like a character out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Awesome. Yes, yeah. Tell me that.
So J. Cole, who else would you say?
J. Cole, let me think of another one. What is this guy's name? You see, I don't even know his name, but he's so cool, man.
You want to look it up?
I'm going to text a friend.
We're going to text a friend, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to call him. Let's bring him in. Yo, Fifi. What it do, bro? I got a question for you.
What up?
What's the name of that artist that you're always playing that's super cool? He has like this hip-hop vibe, but R&B. He does multiple different types of genres. He's singing, but he's not. He's melodic.
FKJ.
FKJ, what? Nah, that's not him, bro.
I think you called the wrong person.
No, the guy who sings that song that reminds you of your ex-girlfriend because of what you guys went through, the whole, like, she's not for you.
Mac Miller?
No, not Mac Miller. Not Mac Miller. Mac Miller, too. Shout out to Mac Miller. He's a beast.
How many more people are we going to go through?
He's another guy, man. He's the one that has you, like, you play the song, and the girl that you were with before coming to California, it reminds me of her.
Oh, Russ.
Russ. There you go. Russ.
Russ. Yeah, I can tell why it was hard to find.
Russ.
That's a very specific name.
All right, yo, Philo. Love you, bro.
Thanks, Philo. All right. Take care, man.
Yeah, be all right. You too, man.
Russ.
I like how genuine he was towards me, but he doesn't even know who I am.
Love, man. That guy has a lot of love in his heart.
That's
bro.
Cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah, he seems like a sweet guy.
Yeah, he's really cool, man.
So check out Russ.
Russ.
J. Cole,
super
Russ.
Fucking awesome.
That's good, man. What type of music? I know J. Cole. I know he's a hip-hop artist.
Hip-hop.
He's great. I love him a lot. He's got a lot of good stories in his music. You know what I mean? He pretty much tells a story. He tells what's up.
And he's doing things that other artists are not. He's not talking about cars. He's not talking
He
about...
hits points that are necessary for music and for people to be inspired with.
Yeah,
know?
That's the power of music. And
yeah.
It, like, really enlightening people. Like, yo, wake the fuck
up. I think music is a good way to teach people, too. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. Bob Marley,
bro.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Bob Marley's a perfect example.
Bob Marley,
yeah.
Bro. Super revolutionary.
I think music is the key to set an example for the world. You know what I mean? You know, or for just anyone's life in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
100%. So yeah. Russ is definitely one of them.
Which is why everyone needs to keep listening to Cardi B, because she's an example for everyone. I'm just kidding. I love Cardi. Go ahead. But yeah, Russ.
Yeah, Russ, he's real cool, man. He has this like R&B flow sometimes. He has more of a rap flow sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's very versatile.
I actually haven't heard of him, so I'll check him out for
versatile
sure.
Versatile artist. Very, very cool.
It's
funny he said Mac Miller, because Mac Miller, rest his soul, I feel like he was at his peak before he passed. And his music, my God.
Yeah.
The last music that he made will live on for
a
long time.
No, it's unfortunate. I talked about this in my last podcast, that a lot of artists that inspire us, you know, to such a degree, we've lost, you know, a lot of great artists we've lost. And I said this last time in our podcast, you know, for any artists who are out there, especially the ones who are listening, we are a family, and we need to stick together. You know, I think we should all, you know, look to each other to inspire each other and to really work with each other to be, you know, our best selves. And if we're ever struggling with the art, if we're ever struggling with these things that are going through our head, you know, reach out to people, reach out to your friends. Yeah.
That's a perfect example. Yeah, yeah. The Otra Mujer song that's coming out, Valentine's, mm-hmm. would never come to be if it wasn't for me mm-hmm. bringing in all these people who I love with all my heart, who are super talented. It would have never existed.
Mm-hmm.
It would have never came to be, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's hard, guys. I know it's totally hard, but you know, us artists are a family, and so we're all here for you. For anyone who's listening,
reach out to your friends, people who are trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're only gonna.
We all have the same thoughts, the same feelings. We get it. You know what I mean?
Definitely. The way I like to think it is, a tripod is only a tripod because of three.
You got
three structures.
It's you and two other great people. You know what I mean?
It could be three. It could be four. It's you with other great people who are going to lift that product. It's going to lift it to the next level that will never exist. If you look at great companies or very successful things, it's not one guy. It's a whole collective of people who put their thought process of a marketing plan, a business structure,
mm-hmm.
and it's them working together that make that product, that brand, whatever it is, successful.
And I think same that's thing really with art. Yeah, I think same that's thing. Really hard for me, or I think that's really hard for artists in general too, because a lot of artists are kind of very to themselves. You know what I mean?
They're
really accustomed to working on their own,
yeah.
and only feeling like I only understand my art. I know what I'm doing, but you have to open up your heart, and you have to open up what you love to do to other people, and you have to let them also, you know, incorporate what they love to do within your realm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to let the right people in.
That's what I wanted to say. It only could happen that way when you have the true connection, because you could have someone mm-hmm. tell you something about your art that you're not connecting with, and all of a sudden you're going to feel offended.
It's a thin line to walk, but once you cross it, man,
yeah.
if you have that family with you, you're good. You're set.
Bro. All the successful artists, they have a solid team behind
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let people in, you know, don't be afraid to express yourself, and don't be afraid to share your art, because a lot of times people are, you know, a skeptic about it. But at the same time,
being an artist is extremely difficult.
It's difficult, yeah.
Being in this era. But don't let that hold you back. Be open to reaching out to people who will benefit the end product, because eventually your art is a product. If you're an artist, you have to be a businessman. How can you have the best product? And sometimes having the best product requires for other people to be involved, because there are certain things that you might not be able to do the best that someone else can. For instance, when I do my Spanish music, I struggle sometimes having really cool English parts. Philo is an amazing, amazing, amazing songwriter. I bring Philo in and he writes something and we vibe together, and he might be shy and whatever, but I bring him to his comfort zone to give me what I want. And he delivers this amazing verse that I could never write. And then I go ahead and sing it in melody form. So he'll just put the flow with no melody
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I would literally put tone and harmonies into that flow. And boom, that song is now that much better because mm-hmm. I was able to open up my creative process with another individual.
Everyone has a special ability.
Absolutely.
And you have to be able to believe that your ability is going to contribute to the rest of the artistic sort of
you said it.
World
yeah.
that we have. And so no matter what, if you think it's not good enough, I bet you 100% it is good enough. You just have to let it flow, let it
exactly,
be.
Exactly, bro. It is. Exactly. There it is. There exactly. It is. So even like best movies, it's not one guy, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at the
it's a crew. Yeah, yeah
bro.
Yeah.
You look at the credits at the end. How many people work together?
For
and
sure.
The only way that movie was possible was for all those individuals working extremely hard for years, 2 years, whatever long it took, and that's what made that movie great.
Guys, less hate, more love. We're all a family here. Let's work together.
Let's go.
All right, man. Really quick. Any books you want to recommend? Anything you've read lately or you've read in your past
I'm
that you love?
I'm really, really weird with books.
As we all are.
Like, I like reading like spiritual books. Like, so,
dude, that's what we're all reading right now.
So what I recommend everyone to read is the book of Ami Child of the Stars.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say The Giving Tree. All right, that's perfect. Yeah.
Ami, the book of Ami.
Child of Stars.
Child of the Stars.
I've never heard it. What is it about?
The Book of Ami, Child of the Stars. It's about a child who was abducted by an alien, and the alien gave him this opportunity to travel within the universe and the stars to write this book. And the writer wrote the book on someone who told him how to write it because he didn't know how to write at the time.
Oh.
And his name is Enrique something. Enrique something. So it's written as a nonfiction. No, in the beginning, he says that he has to say that it's a fiction story meant for children, so that way there's not like a
riot
for someone coming after him at his front door. Yo, you're going to jail right now.
I see.
You know, like that's the whole beginning of it. Mm-hmm. But it's explained as an experience that this kid goes through, and a lot of the things that are said in the book are on what we call today conspiracy theories, like giant humans, which I like realistic. If you search up, there's been bones, femur bones of human bones that are 7 feet, just the femur of a human bone. There's skulls that are found that
are they alien or are they human?
Human skulls that are found that are the size of our torso.
Like a Prometheus type of situation?
Like a 10-foot tall human being. And their skulls are 3 times as great as ours.
And where were these gods?
Their thumbs are the size of our... There's been a thumb that's been mummified the size of our forearm that's been found and documented. But these are
how
all...
How come we haven't heard of this?
Conspiracies that are withheld from the news.
Sure.
So this book talks about these giant beings, how they used to inhabit the earth. And there was a time where the giant beings became so corrupt that there was so much suffering. So what God did was wiped out all suffering and everyone who was living on the earth, but all those that were righteous were saved and taken to another planet. That same story is also in the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch...
Is this in the Bible?
The Book of Enoch is not in the Bible. The Book of Enoch is a lost scripture that was taken out of the Bible because of how descriptive it was about extraterrestrial life. And it was found later on and published as a book. And the Book of Enoch talks about Enoch's experience. Because in the Bible, Enoch is Noah's great-grandfather. And Noah, you know, everybody knows Noah's Ark.
Mm-hmm.
His great-grandfather, Enoch, in the Bible, he disappears in a huge section. Like, he's here in the beginning. He's taken by God. And he never dies. Mm-hmm. That's all we know from the Bible. Mm-hmm. Then years go by, 365 years, and Enoch is all of a sudden back on earth. There's no story behind what happened to Enoch in those 365 years. The Book of Enoch is his experience, his writing on a scripture that was found. And it explains what happened to him. And he talks about what happens to him. And
they talk about this in the Ami book?
It's very similar because in the Book of Enoch, he talks about how the end of times, due to corruption of mankind, all those that are righteous will be saved and everyone will burn in inferno. Like the apocalypse. And in that time, the extraterrestrial beings will come down and save all those that are righteous. We don't know what that means. In my interpretation, it's exactly what's told in the Book of Omni.
So what did you get out of this book? You said it's a spiritual book. What did you receive from
affirmation.
It? Affirmation. Okay.
Affirmation. Everything that I really felt connected to, it's just an affirmation story. And I would read this book and I'd be like, wow, I've had these feelings within me for such a long time. I can't believe someone else is writing these feelings also.
Do you think we have... like, we have some sort of connection to our ancestors that are, like, an alien species?
For sure.
Yeah?
100%. How were the pyramids made? There's no explanation.
What's the purpose to all of this? Why are we here?
That is commercial history is that slaves pulled up these 3,000-ton bricks up this slope to stack the pyramid. Dude, if we get 5,000 people right now to pull a fucking 3-ton brick up something, you're never gonna do it. You're never gonna do it. There's certain.
Well, what do we get in reward? Do we get anything from it? Is there a party at the end? Are we gonna do a raffle? What's the point of all this?
Yeah, for sure,
dude. That's just one. There, another good example is there are carvings that are in rocks that date to millions of years old that are so precise that only laser cut technology of today could simulate that cut. How do you explain that with something that's dated millions of years before Christ?
I didn't know that. So you said you got affirmation from it.
Affirmation.
Do you mean that you feel a little bit more grounded?
More grounded, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Really?
That's interesting. I felt more grounded. I felt like my beliefs are not just these psycho crazy beliefs.
That's the beautiful thing about a book. I like to read a book and understand. I like to read a book and see that the author is writing things that I've ever thought about. You know what I mean? It's almost like it almost makes you feel better. It almost makes you feel like I'm okay. You know what I mean? Not crazy. These people are talking about it. They're discussing it. They're discussing it with other people who are talking about it. Oh, I'm so reassured now that it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to think this way. I get it. It's okay. Cool. What's the book called again?
The Book of Ami.
And you know,
Children of the Stars.
And the thing is that with stories like this, a lot of people, you know, like you said, when it comes to religion or politics, they're very skeptics. So they say no.
Yeah.
Because they're scared. You know, they're scared of what this all really is. You know what I mean? But I think we come to a time in our lives where we're open for possibilities. We're open for new information. You know, there's more than just this. There's other stuff out there.
Absolutely, bro.
Let's learn about it.
Absolutely, bro.
But Scientology. I don't think we need to get that far.
That's a money scheme.
Yeah.
All
right, man. So we're coming to the end right now.
Wait, before we get to the end, there's more book.
Oh, yeah. One more book. Go ahead.
There's one more book, man. Yeah, yeah. And this book is based on history now.
And it is The Giving Tree.
The Giving Tree.
Go ahead. So what's the book about? It's a book about history?
Fabrato, the Magician. Fabrato, bro.
Fabrato the Magician?
Yeah, bro.
This sounds like a DC movie coming out next year.
Fabrato the Magician. This is the most amazing book ever.
How did you hear about this?
Talking to someone saying, hey, my name is Enoch.
Is this...
Do you know what Enochian magic is? Enochian magic? What? You never heard of Enochian language and your name is Enoch? No, what is that?
Man, your name goes on for miles,
yeah,
dude.
It's crazy.
Your name goes into a web of discovery.
Yeah, it's insane, bro. So this guy's telling me things I've never heard about. And I'm like, what is Enochian magic? Enochian language, what is it? It is the language that Enoch spoke in the Bible. Enoch, the character, he would perform magic. He would literally be able to make things levitate. He would be able to control your emotions. He would be able to perform magic with the words.
So this was the world's first mutant then?
Basically, he had an extreme importance in the Bible, and Enochian magic, Enochian language was the language that he spoke that allowed him to make mystical magic happen through the works of God. It's a crazy deep book. It's not meant for everyone. You have to really go into it with an open mind, for sure.
So anyone who hasn't listening, we've been talking about J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It's very far-fetched and hard to believe.
Yeah. Those are the books I like to read about.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. Wow, yeah.
What brings me to these books is just like my name. It has so much for me, so much like meaning. And I hear someone speaking their passion towards, yo, you need to read this book. So I'm like, I read it, and I only read books that are going to either give me knowledge or spiritual enlightenment.
What do you think about the flat earth theory?
Oh, God. The flat earth theory. I really think that that is one thing to make all the other theories kind of like a theory.
Yeah. That is a theory. That's like saying, you know, eggs don't come from chickens. They actually come from trees. You know, it's like, oh, great. Now you made my whole theory about aliens a whole joke now.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah. It's a theory to fuck up all theories. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. That's a great way to put it.
That's what I feel about that. Sure.
But you know what? We talked about the giving tree. That's all that matters. So I like to ask the guests at the end of the podcast, simple question. What is your ideal, your dream breakfast?
Okay, my breakfast every day, just so you know, is a vegan protein shake.
Yeah, that's me too. What's the brand?
Vega.
Oh, really? Vega protein.
Vega sport, matcha.
Matcha. You should try Garden of Life. Have you tried it?
Garden of Life. No, I haven't.
Yes. I did Vega one for the longest time.
The sport.
Yeah, no. Trust me. I did it for the longest time and I liked it. But then I tried Garden of Life Sport.
It sounds super epic.
So much better.
Gotta try that one out.
They're vegan sport protein. They even have a raw protein, and it's the best. Fire. Yeah. I'll show it to you. I actually have it. It is so good. Fire. The quality is good. The taste is great. And I actually prefer it over Vega One. And it's really good. And I'm also I drink protein shakes for breakfast as well. Yeah. As you can tell, I'm a huge body lifter, but I enjoy a protein shake for breakfast. And yeah, that's
my favorite.
Yeah. Starter. That would be, yeah.
With green tea matcha. So it's like caffeinated. I'm up. I don't need to drink coffee.
I'm not a big fan of matcha,
but
I love
tea. The protein shake. It's great.
Oh really?
Yeah. Hmm. Matcha green tea powder. Put in your protein shake.
Hmm.
You don't taste it. It's just another earthy, nice.
Yeah.
Taste.
Yeah.
And it's just like, boom, coffee. Real strong.
Yeah, that's the first protein shake I've got on this show. Usually it's like pancakes. and that's your dream breakfast, too. I'm saying like if you can eat anything.
Okay, so my dream, like that's just my regular breakfast. My dream breakfast, oh, God.
What's like your favorite all time? Maybe even like a childhood nostalgia memory of like a breakfast. What would it be? Like something your mom used to make.
Everything as my childhood has been, I feel like it's been a lie, so I can't give you that answer.
Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
Christopher Columbus, he was a great, no, he was a rapist.
Yeah.
He was a fucking mass murderer.
Well, we're not talking about history, we're talking about what cereal did you eat when you were a kid.
Same thing, like I was eating like this bacon and sausages and eggs, high cholesterol, blood pressure, off the
roof. So you would, for you, breakfast isn't like, it's not like a showstopper. It's like, I wake up, I have my protein shake, but it doesn't matter. I just need that. And I'm out of the door. I move. You're a guy, you're on your feet. You move a lot.
Yeah.
So you don't have time to order eggs and toast and bacon and all that.
Mm,
no.
Nah, but
you're give me my protein shake, a little bit of matcha tea, maybe a side of espresso if you drink coffee, and you're out. You're out the door.
Yeah.
There you go. It. That's you, man.
That's it.
That is
bro.
It.
I love that.
All right, man. So we're at the end right now. Where can we find you? Go ahead and promote yourself on social media.
El Enochian. ELENOCIAN.
That's Instagram?
That's everything.
Okay, cool. So we'll find your music. We'll find your art. All that stuff up there.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Thank you so much for having me, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you, man.
This is the first time we see each other. It's crazy. This is awesome, dude.
Yeah, bro. I'm so glad to hear, man. Love you, bro.
All right, so I'm trying to think of my sign-off. I've been trying to do different things for a sign-off. Last time, I started a sentence, and I had the guest finish it. So
cool.
Before I do my sign-off, guys, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to play one of Eno's songs. It's called Lo Pasamos Bien.
There you go.
And it's one of his singles that came out.
First one.
When did it come out?
Which
came out last year. And I hope you guys enjoy. So stay tuned for after the episode to listen to that song. And I hope you guys enjoy. So here's our sign off. Thank you everyone for joining in to Conversations from a Room. Have a good night and...
drink the wine and feel fine.
Okay.
nivel nos quedamos. Al cielo te llevo, nos vamos. A donde no puede encontrarnos. Un lugar que nosotros somos solo. Te prometo memorias con tú y yo. Momentos que no puedes olvidar de tu enocito. Nosotros lo pasamos bien. Y cuando te lo doy, tú vienes. Como tú lo quieres, yo te lo doy. Como tu ex, baby, yo no lo soy. Me avisas cuando tú lo quieres. Salir y rumbar con mi gente. Y nosotros lo pasamos bien. Estamos en otro nivel. Tú lo sabes bien que estamos en otro nivel. Sí. A donde siempre estamos comiendo muy bien. La vida de nosotros no lo para nadie. Vamos a disfrutar la calle. Pasándolo bien, nunca mirando para atrás. Cuando te veo, I know that you are what I want, baby. Yo no sé, baby, you are for me. Yo quiero perderme solo por ti. Nosotros lo pasamos bien. Y cuando te lo doy, tú vienes. Como tú lo quieres, yo te lo doy. Como tu ex, baby, yo no lo soy. Me avisas cuando tú lo quieres. Salir y rumbar con mi gente. Y nosotros lo pasamos bien. Estamos en otro nivel.